for that one, all right? The evidence is right here, amen?
Amen.
Praise God. All right, good morning, Amazing Grace. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen? Good morning, let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every soul gathered here today. I thank you for every saint gathered here today, Lord, and I pray that you just bring a blessing upon us, Lord, as we open our hearts and minds to receive this message. I pray that it enters our hearts, Lord, and changes us, and makes us better Christians for the church and for your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. My sermon title today is The Witness of a Miracle. And we're going to be talking about a few miracles and a whole lot of witnesses. Amen? All right. Pastor Steve Yeschik lost his sister, Judy, after a five-year battle with cancer. She was a woman who, as Steve described her, she was a party animal, okay? And she was a big drinker, and she had a self-contented lifestyle. She was somebody everybody loved because she exuded excitement and she exuded a thrill for life. And when Steve tried to share Jesus with her over the years, she would just laugh it off and she would keep on partying. But at the age of 44, her world caved in. She found out she had breast cancer. She later learned that her husband had cancer too. Adding to the devastation of these two blows, she discovered her husband was having an affair as well. He subsequently announced he didn't love her anymore, and he left her. It was in that context that she began to ask eternal questions, and soon prayed to receive Jesus as her Savior. From that time until her death, Jesus and His Word and purpose became her priority. With the same gusto with which she lived as an unbeliever, she now approached her new life in Christ. Amen. Her greatest aim was winning others to Christ. She boldly shared her faith, even as she was undergoing surgery after surgery, praying for a miraculous healing from the Lord. But Judy ultimately came to see that the greater miracle for her would be to bring her friends and family to know Christ. Even as she struggled for every breath, she talked her way out of the hospital 10 days before her death so that she could be baptized and publicly proclaim Christ as the only way to salvation. Judy invited everyone she knew to come to her baptism service. And under the Spirit's anointing, she powerfully and urgently shared her testimony at the baptism. Her 84-year-old father came to Christ that night and was baptized as well, along with her ex-husband and a number of nieces, a college roommate who was a New Age cultist, her aunt, her sister, and many others. 10 days later, Judy died. Even still, more people came to know the Savior. When Steve read the message that she had prepared for her own funeral service, 100 more people gave their lives to Christ at the funeral. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So just as Judy's true miracle would be to spread the gospel, right, rather than heal her cancer, the Lord would use Peter's miracle in today's text to do the same thing, to spread the gospel. God chooses when the miracle of healing will happen, and we're all just instruments of His mercy and of His power. But in both of these cases, many more people would believe in the Lord, and we're going to read about that as well. So thanks be to God. Amen?
Amen.
So last week we finished off where Saul's life was saved from that murderous plot of the Hellenistic Jews. Remember, they lowered him in a basket out of the city. Amen? And they sent him off to his hometown of Tarsus, and where he would spend the next 10 years or so. And then meanwhile, here we are back in chapter 32, as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda, okay? The Lord's people. As the persecution of the church continued, the fulfillment of the Great Commission, right? We've been talking about this. The fulfillment of the Great Commission would expand out even farther and farther. And the numbers would continue to grow. It seems we know even today that sometimes persecution brings more support and more success. Amen? And now Peter would be on a new mission for Christ as he would serve and witness to the Gentile church in Lydda, okay? So he was starting, remember, they were always serving the Jewish communities. Now they're out witnessing to the Gentiles, amen? So notice it says that he went to visit the Lord's people, okay? In some translations, it says the saints. He went to visit the saints, okay? The New Testament refers to all believers that have put their faith in Jesus Christ as saints from here on out, okay? This is the first time that they'll call us believers, saints. But from here on out, they'll be called saints, okay? But the Catholic Church today has done a great disservice to the body of Christ, okay? By worshiping certain people in the church who have done amazing things, right? Certain people have done amazing things. They call them saints, okay? But what we call that in Christianity is we call that idol worship. Amen? We're all saints, amen? And we don't worship ourselves, amen? And so we call that idol worship. And if you go to Mexico, you can see this practice in, 95% of the churches out there? Some churches, they even dedicate just to one saint. Amen? And it's a practice that is out of control, and it's certainly against God's commandments of having no other idols before God. Amen? So, we are called saints, okay? All of us are called saints, but none of us are to be worshipped. Only God, the Father, and the Son are to be worshipped. Amen? Amen. So, remember, we're all saints, so we all need to start acting like it, okay? Just kidding. Just kidding. But we are all saints, okay? And the point is that the Lord sees us all the same. He looks at each and every one of us the same. He loves us all the same, whether we're Saul or Paul or Robert or Eric or Adam or whatever. We're all important to God. Amen? We are all important to God. And I got a map. Oh, here it is. Okay. So this is where Lydda is right here. Okay? Here's Jerusalem down here. And this is where Peter would go to deliver his message to the Gentiles, okay? So this is where he's at. And in verse 33 it says, there he found a man named Aeneas. And the reason I know how to pronounce that name so well, Aeneas, is because there used to be a football player on the Cardinals. When they first came out, okay? No, what? Come on. No, the story's going to... Hold on, let me finish. When they used to play at ASU, I know I'm aging myself, but when they used to play at ASU, there used to be a player named Aeneas Williams, and he was an all-pro player on the team, right? Well, as far as I can remember, he was the first Arizona Cardinal to come out and profess his faith as a Christian. And I remember because I picked up one of his jerseys at a yard sale one time, and it had his autograph on the jersey. And it had his favorite Bible verse underneath. Amen? And I still got that jersey in my closet at the house. But the Bible verse, that's the crazy part, okay? The Bible verse is my life verse, Matthew 6:33. And that's the one that he wrote on. I don't know if that was his verse or not, but that's what he wrote on that jersey. Amen? And so, Aeneas, that's just a little thing about Aeneas there. Aeneas Williams, huh? Matthew 6:33, my life verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen? All right. Am I a Cardinals fan? No. Well, I live here, so I guess you could say I'm a secondary Cardinals fan. Huh? My wife will tell you different, though, but... I am an Atlanta Falcons fan, just so in case you didn't know. All right, here we go. No comments. Here we go. Verse 33 says, he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. And he said, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." And immediately Aeneas got up. Amen? He got up. Here we can see the three spiritual gifts that Peter had brought to the saints, okay? The first gift, of course, the gift of miracles, right? The gift of miracles. This man, Aeneas, had been paralyzed for 8 years, and now he's able to suddenly get up, roll up his bed, and just start walking. Amen? That's a miracle, right? This is a miracle, and Peter did not take the credit for it, did he? He said, "Jesus Christ heals you," right? Right off the bat, he did not take credit for it. And he did that so that Jesus would receive the glory. Amen? So that Jesus would receive the glory. And then we also see that Peter had the gift of faith, okay? And when the Lord gives us a strong enough faith, remember, okay, we can move mountains, right? When the Lord gives us a strong enough faith, we can move mountains and even bring the healing of Jesus Christ. When we as the saints, right, speak the word of faith, right? When we believe and we speak that word of faith and pray for people, we can bring the healing of Jesus Christ as well. Amen? So Paul will also speak the word of faith to a paralyzed man in Lystra, right, in chapter 14 that we haven't got to yet. But Jesus, of course, would be the first to model this word of faith by healing a man in the synagogue and tell him to put his hand out, right? And you will be healed. Remember that? On the Sabbath, he tells him to put his hand out. That, again, is the word of faith, right? He says you will be healed if you believe. The word of faith. And even Lazarus would respond to the powerful word of faith and be raised from the dead. He would come out of the tomb, right? By the word of faith. And so between the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and the gift of miracles, all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon that saw this man get up would turn to the Lord, right? They would turn to, this was the witness, right? They would turn to the Lord, which, and that would bring them the third spiritual gift, okay? The most important one, right? And that was the gift of salvation, amen? The third spiritual gift would be the gift of salvation. And it was for all who believed in the resurrected Christ. The gift of salvation. And one day, that verse there, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, who can be saved?" And Jesus told them, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Amen? All things are possible. And with this man, Aeneas, who was crippled for 8 years and would have stayed that way, all things were possible because of God. Amen? Because of God. God healed him physically and spiritually, and God could do the same for any of us who believe. Right? Even if we're on our deathbed, amen, God can heal us physically and spiritually. Sometimes it seems even overnight. Amen? But God does what God's going to do. Amen? This is the miracle of salvation. This was the miracle of this was the witness of a miracle, I'm sorry, to the Gentiles, okay? The witness of a miracle to the Gentiles. And now Peter's going to travel to Joppa, and somehow they knew he had arrived, okay? They knew he had arrived because they're going to go looking for him, okay? And it says in verse 36, "In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, and in Greek her name was Dorcas." Okay? "She was always doing good and helping the poor, and about that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room." Excuse me. Now we notice how this disciple had two names, right? And there are a lot of people in the Bible that have more than one name, multiple names, two names, right? And usually, in this case, one's a Hebrew name and one's a Greek name. Amen? And so Tabitha was her Hebrew name, okay? And Dorcas, of course, was her Greek name. And it meant gazelle, or one that someone that's got a spring in their step, right? But it kind of meant, it was kind of pointing towards service, okay? It meant someone who was always ready to go, always ready to serve others, okay? That was the meaning. So, and then we got, like, Peter was the Greek name of the apostle, but Cephas was his Hebrew name. So that's another example, right? Saul was the Hebrew name, and Paul would be his Greek name. Another example, right? And by the way, Paul in the Greek meaning to stop. It means to stop. So I guess they were talking about stop persecuting, right? Because he would stop persecuting, amen? And so now we're told about this woman Dorcas, okay? It says that she was a woman of great works. She was the type of person who cared for everybody. We know people like that, right? The type of person that cared for everyone. She had the gift of helps, okay? The gift of helps that Paul talks about in the book of Romans. She was the type of woman who would make clothes for the poor and help anyone in need. She loved to do outreach. She would fit in great here at Amazing Grace. Amen? She loved to do outreach. As Christians, we can find all kinds of ways to minister in the name of Jesus. Amen? All kinds of ways. And for an example, there are 21,800 patients per year who receive chemotherapy in Louisville, Kentucky. Just in Louisville, Kentucky alone. Amen? And most of them lose their hair through the chemotherapy, right? They lose their hair. And but there's a lady named Lynette Leggett. And she found out about this, and it brought her to tears. It brought her to tears. And she also learned that the patients were complaining about being cold at night, and they would wrap their pajamas and blankets around their heads because they didn't have any hair. Amen? And to keep warm. So this gave Lynette an idea. She said, I thought I couldn't possibly meet that need. It seemed an overwhelming project, but I decided to try. She decided to try. Amen? So Lynette's project was to create turbans like this one here, okay, for cancer patients who lost their hair. And so some of her first creations were sent to a mother in Kansas. And Lynette made this woman many caps, okay, for winter, for summer, different outfits, winter and spring. And later, when Lynette met this woman's 7-year-old daughter, the girl ran up to her and wrapped her arms around her legs, amen? And she said, you made my mom so happy. She has a hat to go with every outfit, right? And she was just so happy. And so Lynette was known as the Hat Lady, okay? They called her the Hat Lady. And from July of 2002 to December of 2004, her and her 6 volunteers, they made 1,000 turbans for cancer patients at no charge. Amen? For those in need, right? She was being a Dorcas, okay? And so Lynette was the modern-day Dorcas. The world measures greatness by success, but Jesus measures greatness by service. Amen? Jesus measures our greatness by service. And Dorcas was a woman. She was a woman, back to our scripture, Dorcas was a woman of service. That was also given over to kind deeds, okay? She not only worked all the time, but she was a very kind person, okay? So Dorcas is a name synonymous with these kind of qualities in the church. And some of you may know that in the church, they use this name for different groups of, like, sewing groups for women, different women groups, small groups. They'll use the name Dorcas in their title. Amen? But we thank God for these types of people in the church who use their God-given talents to contribute to God's church. Amen? That's how I got started in the ministry. I was playing music, and a buddy of mine invited me to go play for church on the street. Started playing music, and that's what started my whole ministry journey. Amen? Just playing the drums, using my God-given talents to worship God, right? But I think that's why volunteers are so important and anointed in the church. Your spiritual gifts should be shared and used to help others and to support your church. Amen? We all have a spiritual gift. We all have something we can do to support our church. And when we do that, when you do that, in turn, it strengthens your relationship with God. Amen? The more you serve, the more you get involved, the stronger your relationship gets with God. So you want to see your faith and your favor and your family grow? Get involved in church. Right? We've been talking about this. We got the new volunteers list. Get involved in church and you won't be disappointed. Amen? You will not be disappointed. That's why we have that new list. And so God bless everyone who's already signed up. I got like 18 names already signed up. And amen, right? And we're going to get you guys trained ASAP, okay? Just remember, if you're going to serve, remember just we have to try to be here every Sunday, okay? And that's why we're going to have backups. So if we can't make it, we'll let people know, but we'll talk more about that later. So remember, ministering to others is a wonderful and gratifying spiritual gift, right? Ministering to others is a broad spiritual gift. And I am excited to see the church really start to work together to serve God. I think we all are. Amen? To really see all of us start to work together. Yesterday we had 6 volunteers, some of Romans guys and a couple other guys from the church. I'm not going to say any names because too many people, but they all volunteered to help out with our landscaping. And they even came to my house and did my backyard because my wife won't let me do anything because of my surgery. So, but it was amazing though, right? That people are stepping up like that and offering their services, right? And I asked a couple of guys, I said, well, what are you guys doing today? They said, oh, we're doing your yard. That's what we're doing today. We're not doing anything else. We're here to serve, you know, and what a great thing, you know, to have people in the church and that's what builds our relationship with Christ, being a servant. Amen? Because he came to serve as well, right? He came to serve and not be served. So, and then verse 37, of course, unfortunately, Dorcas becomes sick, okay? She becomes sick and she dies. So they washed her body. They put her in an upper room, as was customary in those days, for a time of mourning and remembrance, okay? They put her body in the upper room. And verse 38 says that Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda performing miracles, they sent 2 men to him and urged him, please come at once. Please come at once. Sounds familiar. We'll get to that. Verse 39 says, Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room, and all the widows, okay, the mourners, that's what they were, all the widows, and they, some people call them the beneficiaries too, stood around him, they were crying, and they were showing the robes and the clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. That's what the scripture says, amen? So they were basically just declaring what a beautiful person she was. And they were mourning for her, right? They missed her. They didn't want to lose her. So, you know, we really miss a person like this in the church, right? When they start to get older and they can't serve anymore, right? And when they get sick, right? And they can no longer serve. But when they pass away, it's a genuine time for mourning. Amen? It's a genuine time for mourning within the church, within our church too. Sometimes we start to wonder if anybody could ever take their place, right? That they've done so much, we wonder, how's anybody ever going to take their place? That they may have been such a unique person in the church, how could anyone take their place? We've lost some amazing servants in this church in recent years. And with 2 of the most recent that come to mind for me, being our beloved Christine Bishop, who we just lost recently. Amen. Christine Bishop and Kathy Gardner. These were great servants in our church. Amen. And these wonderful women, they served many years. And when they had a step down due to illnesses, we saw that the Lord would provide someone, right, to come in and take over, right, to help out, to help the church. And a new generation would come in to serve, right? A new generation is always going to come in, be next to come in to serve, which doesn't ease the pain, right? But it shows God's healing and it shows God's provision knows no bounds. Knows no bounds. Amen? The Lord's going to provide. The provision would be the new leader stepping up. But the healing, I talked about healing, the healing would be the ultimate healing for them, right? The ultimate healing for them and us as believers. Yeah, we mourn the loss of our dear friends and family and the void that they left here. But we have to remember that as believers, they're now with Jesus. Amen. Right? Completely healed. Amen? They are now with Jesus and completely healed. And and being the ultimate servants in the presence of God, right? So we mourn for them, yes, but we should also rejoice for there with the Father. Amen? Amen. And so we rejoice with them, and we should be weeping for ourselves. Amen? We should be weeping for ourselves and rejoicing for them as we have to deal with this world without them. So a lot of times we find ourselves asking the Lord not to take our loved ones, right? Please, Lord, heal them. Don't take them. Even when they're in pain and when they're suffering and in discomfort, or when they die like Dorcas even sometimes, right? We ask the Lord, Lord, please bring my loved one back, right? We may even say that sometimes because we miss them. And we miss the things that they did for us while they were here on earth, right? Whether it was loving us or serving in the church, whatever that looks like. And I remember the last time I saw Chris Bishop in the rehab facility, she could barely see anything anymore. And she was very weak and out of breath. And I remember her telling me, Pastor, I don't know why the Lord has me here. I don't know why the Lord still has me here. I just want to go home and be with the Lord. And it was then that I told her, you know, we don't always know why the Lord does what he does. Amen? We don't always know why he does what he does. But I told her, you're still here for a reason. You're still here for a reason. You're an inspiration to a lot of people. Your friends and your family love you. They don't want to see you go. But you see how selfish that sounds when we really think about it? Amen? When we really think about it, we're thinking about ourselves sometimes and our loss. But what about the loved ones? You know, they're now in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Why would we want to prevent that, right? They're in the presence of the Lord. And as believers, we should be happy for them. No more pain, right? We say no more pain, no more suffering. You see, these mourners, they wanted Dorcas back. They wanted her back, and just like they wanted Lazarus back, right? They wanted Dorcas back. But I think even the Lord would weep that someone has to come back from eternity, amen, from heaven, right? That's why he wept, because Lazarus had to come back, amen? And to have someone come back from eternity to a resuscitated life, right? Not a resurrected life now, okay? But a resuscitated life here with us. And I'll explain the difference here shortly. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Right? You see, the power of Christ has taken away that sting of death. Amen? The power of Christ has taken that away. But here, because of God's will, Dorcas is going to live again. She's going to live again. So Dorcas had passed. She was in the presence of the Lord, but they were all weeping. And as Peter arrived, he sensed a specific leading to do just as he had seen Jesus do, right? And that, the story sounds kind of familiar, right? Because Jesus did the same thing in Mark 5, 38 through 42. And you'll remember this story. It says, "When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, 'Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep.' But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kaum,' which means, 'Little girl, I say to you, get up.' 'Little girl, I say to you, get up.' Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished." Right? Completely astonished. In anticipation, God's going to do the same miracle here, right? The same miracle. And this is where Peter gets kind of the idea, right? It's kind of the same model, right? He's doing the same thing. He asks them to leave the room. He brings them back to, he resuscitates them, right? And brings them back to life. And in verse 40, it says, so here it is. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees, okay? sent him all out of the room, got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." Sounds almost the same as what Jesus said, right? He said, "Talitha," he says, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, it says she sat up. Amazing. She sat up. Everybody left the room. Peter kneels down, starts praying, and now she's raised from the dead, right? And she is resuscitated, not resurrected, okay? You guys know the difference, right? When you're resurrected, you'll never die again. Only one person's ever been resurrected. Amen? Jesus Christ. When we're resuscitated, when we come back from the dead, and a lot of people have, we're going to die again. We're going to die again. So that's only a resuscitation, not a resurrection. Amen? So this resuscitation took great power. It took the power of Jesus Christ, right? To raise somebody from the dead. It took the power of Jesus Christ. But notice, as Peter did, if you want that kind of power, you got to start with prayer. Right? You got to start with prayer if you want that kind of power. And so Peter would pray and expect the power of the Lord, right? The power of the Lord to raise this woman from the dead. That's true faith. Faith that can move mountains. The faith and the power of Jesus Christ is the faith that can raise someone from the dead. Amen? And this power would come through prayer. The more prayer you have, the more power there is in your life. There was a story about the Metropolitan Tabernacle. That's where Charles Spurgeon used to be a pastor, okay? The Metropolitan Tabernacle. And they said that visitors had heard of him, and they were in town, and they wanted to come to see one of his services. So the visitors went to the tabernacle, and the doors were locked when they got there. It was a weekday, right? The doors were locked, but they waited. They wanted to see the preacher, and they wanted to see this great tabernacle. If you guys ever seen it, oh, there's a picture. So it held like, I don't know, thousands and thousands of people back then. And he must have had a loud voice because they didn't have speakers back then or microphones either. But they say the acoustics of it is how he was able to reach everyone, right? Not like Jesus. Jesus could do it even in a field, right? But so they were locked out. They couldn't get in. It's closed, and they're sitting there, and they're contemplating, what are we going to do, you know? Are we going to wait? Do we want to go in there? And as they're doing that, Charles Spurgeon himself comes walking up, right? He comes walking up, and he says to the visitors, "Would you like to see the healing apparatus, or the heating apparatus of the tabernacle?" And they looked at him, and they thought, well, not really, but okay. I mean, it's Charles Spurgeon, right? At least they're going to get a tour from Charles Spurgeon, okay? So I said, okay. So they walk down these stairs, and they go down this long hallway, and a door opens, and there's hundreds of people in this room, and they're all praying. Hundreds of people in this room praying, amen? And Spurgeon says, "There is the heating apparatus of this church, right there. The reason this church is so powerful is not just because of my preaching, but because of all these people gathered together and praying to the Lord. That's why this church has so much power, because of the prayer that's in this church." Amen? And it's the same thing for any church. The more power, the more prayer there is in your church, the more power there's going to be in your church. Amen? It's so important for all of us and any of us to pray, okay? And so Peter gets everybody out of the room, okay? And he prays, and the woman is healed. She gets up and she's healed. And verse 41 says, he took her by the hand, helped her to her feet, and then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented to her her to them alive. And this became known all over Joppa. And finally it says, and many people believed in the Lord. How many times are we going to hear that in Acts, right? And many people believed in the Lord. Hallelujah, that's right. Once again, this miracle was going to lead to the salvation of many more people, right? That's his mission. That's the Great Commission. And our last verse says, 43, says that Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. And people are like, what's a tanner, right? You guys, anybody know what a tanner is? Huh? Treat leather. The treat leather, kind of, yeah. Do you know, Donna? Okay, so it's actually someone who skins the animal for the leather and then treats it back then. So maybe today it's different, but back then that's what it was, okay? And that was a tanner. So that was an unclean profession for Jews, right? Because of their practice, right? Their practice of sacrificing. So tanners were looked upon badly because they constantly worked with dead animals, which made them ceremonially unclean, right? And as a matter of fact, they even said they had to live 75 feet outside of town, 75 feet away from anybody, because nobody wanted to be near them because they were unclean. But Peter, okay, would be staying with this tanner. All right, sounds like an insignificant thing, but the reason that this is important is because in the next chapter, the Lord's going to speak to Peter in a vision. He's going to tell him, don't call anything impure that God has made clean, right? He's going to say that. And in other words, the Lord is slowly working on Peter to bring him away from the legalism, okay, the legalism into religion. Okay, the legalism and the religion into the Word of God, right? So away from the rules, the man-made rules, and more into the commandments and a relationship with Christ. Amen? Which is where we're at today, right? Where we should be at today, right? Peter has a very hard year coming up that we're going to be studying on, and he needs to be 100% in Christ to face all the things he's going to face. Amen? And the Lord's working on him. That's why he's staying with this tanner, to work on him to become more about Christ and less about these legalistic rules that they had in the church. Amen? So he needs to be 100% in Christ to face these challenges. And it's the same for us. Amen? It's the same thing for us. In our lives, we have to be 100%. We got to give the Lord 100%. We talked about this in the men's study yesterday. We're going to get what we put in. Amen? If we give the Lord 100%, we're going to get back 100%. Amen? It's free will. It's what we want to do. Amen? So we have to give the Lord 100%. It's the same for us. And we need to do away with religion and welcome that relationship that can save us all. Amen? We all need to be a witness of the miracle that is salvation. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, we